grateful and respect heart. We are happy to be in your temple to worship you, to bow humbly in front of you, and we pray, Father, have mercy on me, have compassion on me, help me to stand here boldly, help me to deliver your word clearly, remove every impurity in and out. Pray for your Holy Spirit to move and work among us. May all the glory to be God. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Why don't we read our Bible verses, of the, all the Bible verses that we will be using today. I appreciate Minister make those verses for me. Why don't we read it together? The first set will be from Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 4. And let us read it slowly and clearly so that the word will sink into our heart. Okay, let us together. The Lord has said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curse you, I will curse. And I, people on earth, will be blessed through you. Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. Okay, the second will be from Hebrews 11, 8 to 12. Let's read it together. By faith, Abram, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heir with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundation, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and was barren, was able to become a father, because he considered himself faithful, who had made him the promise. And so from and he has came descended as numerous as the star in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the sea. Okay, and then our last verses is Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. Thank you very much. Last week, I took a trip to New York to see my mother. She is 96 years old. I was pretty sure that the Delta airline that I took would bring me there safely. I did not ask to see the credential of the pilot or the maintenance record of the Boeing jet, and no other passenger did. You see, we exercise this kind of faith on a regular and everyday basis. Therefore, I think we can really say that faith is a common denominator in life. Now, no one can live a single day without exercising faith in something or someone, something or someone in the physical world. Now, for example, when you mail a letter, you have faith the postal system will deliver it to the right address. When you go to pharmacy, you have faith that the pharmacist will give you the right medicine. Minister Tang's Nina is a pharmacy, so and then you trust your employer, he will give you a paycheck at the end of the week. Okay, even at this moment when you are sitting on the chair, you are expressing a kind of trust or faith that the chair is well built and it is sturdy enough to hold you up Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting, right? So the bottom line is, it is impossible to conduct a normal life, a normal business, without the basic faith and trust established in our system and in our society. I guess I forgot to mention something on a personal level. I forgot to mention the trust on a personal level. I think, okay, on a personal level, who we trust? We generally trust our family and friends, our teacher and our pastor. But sometimes, not too often, but more often than not, the system failed us. There were accidents in the commercial airline. There were undelivered letter and lost package in the postal system. There were pharmacists who make mistake and company not paying their employee. Yes, I've seen broken chair and people fell off of it. And I personally know of abusive parent, irresponsible teacher, and disgraced leader who miss the trust we place in them. It happened. This morning, my topic is have faith and trust in the Lord. I'm sorry, I didn't give Minister Tan the topic until yesterday or the day before, because really, it's very rough on me. However, this topic, have faith and trust the Lord, it is a line I use very often myself to comfort myself. And I also use it to encourage my kid when sometimes they ask for my advice. I don't have any other good advice, but I just say, have faith and trust the Lord. So this morning we will examine the Christian faith, and we will look into several areas. We will look at faith and the object of faith, the common trust and the common faith, the Christian, the spiritual faith. And then we will look at Abraham's faith and its application. Then we will look at the New Testament faith. And we know that God wants to save us, and He wants us to trust Him. And then we will look at what faith is based on. We know that our faith is based on God, on God's Word, and based on our focus on Jesus Christ. And then we look at the faith can do great things. Faith can overcome the world, and then faith is rewarding. Earlier, I talked about exercising the everyday faith in the physical world. It is necessary, and it generally works very well. Faith, of course, is also expressed in the spiritual realm and the spiritual arena. The difference between the faith we exercise in our daily routine and our religious faith is the object of that faith. Your faith is only as good as the object in which you place your faith. Now, for example, the Muslim, they put their faith in the Quran and the Muhammad or the Ayatollah or something. Other religions have a different variety of idol god as their object of faith. And still, there are some wise men, and they think that they put their faith in themselves, in myself. But however, none of this can save. Because in each case, the object of faith is wrong. The object of Christian faith is in the Son of God, is in Jesus Christ. The Bible insists that we personally put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts 4:12, it tells us very clearly, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. So that is a pierce demon. Yeah, you could go the other route, but you won't achieve there. At this point, I want to talk about, or I will turn my attention to the definition of faith. Definition of faith. In Hebrew 11, it tells us, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And there's another version, they say that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we see that what actually, when we say hope for, I say, I hope you well. It's a hope, I hope you well, but not, I don't know whether you're well or not, but I hope you well. And then I say that, I hope I'm a millionaire. Obviously, I'm not a millionaire, but I hope I'm a millionaire. Okay, and I said that, okay, he mentioned I have four children. I could say that, I hope I'm a grandparent, but it's just a hope. None of them have any activity yet. So it is just a hope. Now, hope is a wish. Hope is a wish and a desire. It is not something that is realized. It is not something that is materialized. So it is not something concrete. So something is still in the air. So when we say about this definition of faith, then we are saying that we have to be sure of something that is not substantiated, something that is not realized, something is not materialized. So this is we are talking about faith, that something. And then we know that when Martin Luther King, the famous speech that he gave, I had a dream that all people will live equal. But at that time, when he was delivering the speech, it was in the 60s, black and white are not equal, but he is hoping, and he is hoping that it will. What I want to say is that hope is something that are not there yet, not materialized yet. So, and then the second part of that is then evidence of a thing that not seen. Now, on this point, I'd like to illustrate with a story. A couple years ago, I know a couple from Hong Kong. They immigrated to the United States and live in Baton Rouge. And I try to bring them to church, but they don't want to come to church. They are pretty miserable. They don't adjust well, and they really hate Baton Rouge. And the husband and wife cannot find a job anyhow. After a year or so living here, they decided United States is not for them. He wanted to go back to Hong Kong. And at that time, he had a lot of possession. He needed to sell. And I said that, well, I helped him, but it's difficult. And then he had a 204 Dodge Interpret, and he wanted to sell it, and he bring it to the dealer. Oh, the dealer really lowball him and give him less than 110 of what he paid for. So he don't really want to sell it to him. And then he also needs the car. And I told him that you could put it on the newspaper or advertise it and see whoever wants it. Then maybe you could get a better price. And I told him that if you really cannot sell it, then I take it from you. And I will give you the best price that, of the market that you could get for possible a premium. And so he cannot sell it. And then anyhow, we agreed on 8,000 or something. And then came that day that he is ready to go. And apparently a few days ago, then he got an offer, $9,000 or something. But the guy wants the car right away, and he cannot give him the car right away. He said, I need the car until we move back. So anyhow, the day before he go back to Hong Kong, he come to me, and then I said, okay, since then it's $9,000, then I write you a check, $9,000, and you give me the title, then I bring you out. And he said that, no, I cannot take your check. I want cash. I have to have cash. I said, I don't usually have $9,000 of cash. $100 or $200 is at most that I keep in my pocket. It's not my practice to have it like that. So we see that now. it really ring a bell for me for the what we do not see, and certain of what we do not see. He cannot be certain of what we do not see, and he do not have the evidence of the thing that has unseen, as in this Bible definition. So I said that, well, then let us make a some kind of, I really do not want to give you $9,000 in cash, and I feel uncomfortable carrying it. And then I also want to write you a check so that I have a piece of paper for myself. So what I do that I still write him the check. I said, now you hold the check, you keep the title in the compartment, and we drive to the bank, and I walk with you together to the counter, to the teller, and it is my check, but you is in your name, and we give it to the Capital One Bank, and we cash the check right then and there, and we did it that way, and he and his wife, both of them. Oh, and then the tailor, of course, the check is good. The tailor, you know, 100, there's a lot of counting. and then there are a lot of stuffing, and then he and his wife put a lot of stuff in the pocket. So we see that there are people for things that are unseen, they really not too good. I want to see it. It is a bird in the hand is then better than two in the stone. I actually want to see it. So this is the definition or the interpretation of most people that are the, but in faith in us when we talk about faith, because of course there's a lot of definition. If you look at the definition in the Webster Dictionary, they said, oh, the faith is could be a set of principle or belief, it could be a loyalty to a person or thing, it could be a confidence of belief in the truth and value, but faith actually is the in our context, it should be, the faith is therefore that confidence in trust in God and Christ regarding things promised or things not seen. And it is the inward conviction of ourselves that enable us to see the things that are not seen. Have you seen heaven? We did not see heaven, but I believe in heaven. And it is really the inward conviction that is the faith that carries us to that. So I think that in that regard, we realize our faith is not the ordinary faith of the world, and it's not the faith of the value of the people, how they regard it. Now let us go back to our Abraham's verses, and in the first step, we read the Genesis. When we read Genesis 12:1-4, and I want you to look carefully a few words. In verse 1, the Lord has said to Abram, okay, now, this is actually the first encounter of God and Abraham, and it is God who initiated this action. God, the Lord has said to Abram. Now we know that this action is initiated by God, and the process started when God speak to Abram, and as in verse 1, and God told Abram, leave your country, leave your people, leave your household, go to a land where I show you. And then God give him a promise, a great nation and a blessing for him. And then furthermore, through him, blessing for all the people, for all the people of the world. Now this is a very significant event in the entire history of mankind, and in the Bible, not only, also in the Bible, of course. This is a turning point, or we could call it a starting point. It is the point of origin of God's chosen people, and we can practically see, it is the beginning of the Old Testament. And we definitely could say that it is the beginning of the Jewish faith. And prior to that, there is no such an affiliation. There's no such an affiliation of God and His chosen people. And as part of this promise, that all the people on earth will be blessed through Abraham, this is indeed the case. As all of us who believe in God will son and daughter of Abraham. And in the book of Romans chapter 4 verse 3, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Romans 4:3. So all of us who believe in Jesus Christ were credited as righteousness, like Abraham. Abraham is regarded as the father of faith, and he is the father of the Jewish faith particularly, and is considered the great ancestor, and he was often referenced and referred as in the Jewish history, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac were mentioned repeatedly in the Bible. And actually he is not only the Christian faith, the Jewish faith, it's also the Muslim faith too, you know, because Abraham had and Hagar, you remember Hagar and Ishmael. So that is the beginning of the Islamic faith. And then actually in the book of the Islam, they do have Abraham, but they don't call him Abraham. They call him Ibrahim or something like that. Okay. So many a time when you go to a Muslim country, there are a lot of people called Abdul Muhammad Ibrahim or that kind of name. They reverence Abraham too, but of course they don't regard him as God or like that. Okay. On our second verses, talking about Hebrew, is about on chapter 11, 8 through 14. And then we look at again, and there it says, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as inheritance, obeyed and went. Okay, we want to highlight the word called and obeyed and went. Called and obeyed and went. So many times we are called and we have God in, and then how do we react? Do we obey and when? But we see how God initiated this thing, and then he obeyed and went. He left Haran, he left Mesopotamia, he left his home. And then we could see that how is his attitude. He took the promise seriously, right? He regard God's promise very serious. And that's why when God called, he obeyed and went. But if somebody give me a promise, if I don't take him seriously, I won't do a thing. But if somebody, so you have to see that. Well, how do I regard what you tell me or what is your promise? If I regard it seriously, I embrace your promise and I will take action. If you don't, differently. And then on verse 9, we see him like a stranger in a foreign country. And what did that tell us? That he recognizing that this is just something temporary, not the real thing, not something permanent. And he is wishing for what? The kingdom to come. And in verse 10, it tells us that he is looking forward to the city with foundation. Looking. And then he's longing and he is desiring something permanent. He just, and something that is forever. And then so he see through that this is not in sometimes in our situation we could reflect ourselves, this is just a temporary situation. We have something better coming. we we are a stranger, we are pilgrim in this world. But what our true inheritance is in heaven, as in God. And then we see that in verse 11, I like the word was enabled, and God enabled him. Well, he was not able, and because the physical limitation and all this biological thing, and there are a lot of restrictions, but God enabled him to become a father. Why? Because he considered him faithful, who made the promise. Again, he regard the promise of God seriously, and he considered him faithful, who made the promise. So in such a thing, then God enabled him to do the undoable, so to do the thing that could not be done. And then now we could draw a parallel for us in our New Testament faith, in our New Testament belief. God initiated the action. Okay, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And God is the one that initiated action, and he started the process. He looked for us. We don't need to look for him. And God revealed himself to us, not like the other God in the other faith, that they actually have to go look for. Where is the God? If you don't have a God, you make a God, or something like that. But anyhow, our God is a living God, and he cared, and he initiated the action. Again, God, what did God? God promised Abraham the promise to be blessing to others. God promised us. So, what he promised us? Our sin will be forgiven, and we will have eternal life. And when we trust and believe Jesus as our personal Savior, we would be able to inherit that promise. And it is a real promise, and it is a true promise. And it is how we regard that promise. For some of us that you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Savior, think. It is really actually how you regard that promise, how you see that promise. And then we walk and we work and we worship God on this earth, knowing by faith that this is temporary, and we are looking forward for total redemption. And many times this morning in our Sunday school, we talk about suffering. Yeah, we have suffering, we have difficulty, we have all kinds of things in the world. But however, remember, these are all temporary, and we have something better to look for. And then we see how God enable and empower us with strength to serve. And we know that God is forever faithful. That give us a parallel of the, or I try to bring a parallel between the Abraham's faith and our New Testament faith. Once again, I tell you, God wants you to trust him. God wants you to trust him. In John 14:1, how does it? I think it's a very famous chapter, most of us know. That do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me. And then in the day, in another place, he would tell us that, say, in my Father's house, there's a lot of room. I go there to prepare for you, and I will come and receive you where I am. And then in 14:6, there's a famous saying that, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father except through me. So, God wants us to trust him. God wants us to give, he wants to give us the salvation. He wants to give us the best. Who do we trust? Ask yourself, who do you trust? The world and its glory? I tell you what, heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. Faithfulness is the attribute of God. Faith is of God. The Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. our faith is to be nourished and to be based on God's Word, the Holy Bible. And the book of Rome in chapter 10:17 tell us in no uncertain terms that faith comes by the Word of God. And then let me read you the exact wording in NIV. It's in the Rome 10:17. It says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. So faith comes from hearing the message, and the message comes from the Word of Christ. So we need to know the Word of God to have faith. And we need to, and through His Word, then we understand God more. And more we understand God, the better will be our faith. Remember, we are saved by faith, and we also live by faith. We enter into our new life in Christ through faith, right? And nobody, there's no other way. We already are. But however, after that, we still go by faith, we live by faith, we say by faith, we live by faith. Now, when we first come to Christ, we know that in Ephesians 2:8, I think in Ephesians 2:8, in the next room, we have a big verses written on our room, that Ephesians 2:8, and it is very, very clearly tell us, for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God. So it is a gift of God that we have faith, and then we are saved, and then we should live, and then we should live by faith. We continue to grow our spiritual life, and we live our everyday life by faith, because without faith it is impossible to please God, as in Hebrews 11:6. We live by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. So we want to focus on we need to live by God's word, and then we want to focus on Jesus Christ. Remember, focus is very important. When you cannot focus, then you cannot see well. We all remember the story when Jesus walking on the water, right? And actually, I read a catchy phrase the other day. It says, if you want to walk on water, you have to first get out of the boat. I think it's pretty good, right? If you really want to walk on water, if you don't get out of the boat, you're not going to walk on water. So anyhow, but that is just a catchy phrase. But however, I really want to bring up another point is, when Jesus walked on water, it's a very stormy weather, and then Peter, the big disciple, he saw it. He said that, oh, let me come too. And Jesus said, come. And he walked on the water. And he walked towards Jesus. Then he moved his eye. He didn't fix his eye upon Jesus. He looked around and he saw the wave. He saw the storm. And he saw the wave. And he saw the wind. And then what? He fell. And so when he was focusing on Jesus, he walked well. But when he lit his eye apart, then he fell. So we should in our daily life, we focus. If I say my eye is not very good, and I just found out that I have cataract and I need to focus my eye, I think, lady, I didn't do well. Probably it's because of that too. Anyhow. As a practicing Christian, many a time we feel inadequate, and we wish and we pray for greater faith. We often declare our faith is too small, and oh, it is not sufficient for the situation, and it is not good enough to do the task. The more we examine ourselves, the more problems we find. Oh, I have no faith. I can't do that. I need something else. Brother and sister, remember, faith is not our own product. Faith is of God. And remember, the source of faith is God, not ourselves. And remember, we trust not our faith, we trust God. I think many a time we should ask, how much faith I got? Instead, we should ask, Is God always reliable? Is God always trustworthy? Is God forever loving? Is God always capable? Is God always keep His promise? After we answer this question truthfully, I think we will feel relief and we will feel enlightened. We should remember He care, He can, and He is there. He care, He can, and He is there. We do not need great faith in God because we have faith in a great God. Our faith is based on knowing God. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:12, "Because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day." So if we know God more, we know His attribute, we know His character, and we know how much He cares, and we know He can, and know He is always there for us. So don't be afraid, just believe. We have a great God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you because you are a great God. Father, you are the source of faith. Father, hold us close. Let your love surround us. Help us to walk our daily life with you and see that that's the best. And we thank you, Lord, for all the things that you've done for us. Bless this congregation and bless this church, and help us to strive forward and to follow your footsteps. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.